Second Timothy. This Timothy was quite a fellow. So is Paul. And the relationship between Paul and Timothy is just fantastic, just beautiful. And when God instructed Paul to write to Timothy, there's just so much learning for us in it, because it is just like God writing the word to you and to me who serve in the capacity of his sons in the ministry of the body. And this second epistle of Paul, of God via Paul, you know, Paul's words to Timothy, is just as tremendous as the first epistle. It talks about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Reader's Digest, which is in whom?
Christ.
Kids, that's just where it is. Life has to be in Christ Jesus. It just isn't any other place. The world is just a bunch of glary stuff wanting us to think life is there, but it really isn't. Life is in Christ Jesus. That's the only place it is. Everything else is just so much of something. But if you want real life, and if people want real life, it has to be in Christ Jesus. So never get fooled by the glariness on the outside. In other words, never get excited because you meet the President of the United States or the executive of some banking organization, because he has no life outside of what? That's what the word says, what it means. So, it's to Timothy, my dearly what? Beloved son. Not just dear son, but dearly what? Beloved. The tenderness of that thing is just beautiful. The love of it, the greatness of it. My dearly beloved son, grace, divine favor, mercy, peace, three things in this verse. Grace, mercy, peace. Wherever there is grace, there has to be mercy. Because grace and mercy just pair off. And wherever there is grace, mercy, there is peace. Not necessarily between individuals, but between God and that man. This is grace, mercy, and peace from whom? God, the Father. Far as I know, do you know place in the Old Testament read about God as a Father? You read about him as Creator, Jehovah, all of that. Someone, if you have a concordance, just take a look at Young's and see if the word Father appears relative to God in the Old Testament. I just can't recall one place. But time and time again in the church epistles, it does. He's our Father. Now, this does not communicate so efficaciously and powerfully to a lot of people today, because many of the people, their fathers don't amount to too much, and therefore they don't have too much of a knowledge of what a good father would be all about. But if you've had a good father, at least you have a little inkling of what it's like. And then God the Father is so much bigger. And Christ Jesus, our what? Lord. Two again. Father, God the Father, and Christ Jesus. Never one. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. He served God from the forefathers, because even when Paul was so adamant against Christianity, he thought he was serving whom? To the best of his knowledge and ability. When Paul did anything, he put his heart and soul in it. When he was meaner than hell. That's right. Wickeder than crazy. See, anything Paul did, he just put his heart and soul into it. That without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Without ceasing does not mean that he never stopped. But every time, day after day, and many times hour after hour, Timothy'd come to his remembrance, and he'd lift him by speaking in tongues. Night and day, whenever he flipped up in his mind, he would lift him to the Father. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Today, as you were working outside, how disciplined were you in speaking in tongues? Or did you forget all about it? You see, you can so discipline your mind that as you go from one thing to another, time and time again, you can just speak in tongues. I did it today. And if I can do it, you can do it, because God's no respecter of what? But it's a discipline. It's a renewed mind. It's a work. Verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee. He got real lonesome for old Tim. They were just real close. And I sometimes think it's like we in the Corps get lonesome for each other. You know, I just almost give anything at times to see some of these kids, to see them. Anything. I know what he's talking about. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, does not mean that Timothy was crying all day long, or even half the time. But tears stand for putting your heart into something, putting everything you've got into something, being mindful of what you are putting forth, the effort you're expending, the drive within yourself to utterly give yourself to carry out that ministry, that I, Paul, may be filled with what? Very deep. He didn't say happiness. He said, it's much deeper than just an external thing. It's an inside job with me. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your expended energy and what you're really doing, that I, Paul, may be filled with an inside job, knowing that what you're doing is just fantastic. It blessed him when Timothy stood on God's word and didn't knuckle under. That's the joy. When I call to remember the unfeigned faith, the undiluted believing that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Tremendous. Doesn't mention the daddies, but it does mention the mommies. Grandmother and mother. And that's beautiful. Just the purity of that believing that his grandmother had, that his mother had, and that he had. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said he put him in remembrance that he had to stir up the gift. That's the ministry. You've got to stir it up. If you've got the ministry of a teacher, you've got to stir it up. If you don't, you'll be a rotten teacher. Right. If you have the ministry of an apostle, you stir it up. Prophet, you stir it up. Evangelist, you stir it up. Pastor, you stir it up. That means you drive yourself to be the best evangelist it's possible to be. You just don't spend all day praying. You spend some time studying. And you really discipline your mind to produce the best techniques or anything else that'll get the word to move. If you don't stir up a gift that you've got, it'll go dormant on you. You won't lose it, but you might as well, because you're not doing anything with it. And you know something? You can stir it up this far, and then you stop. When you have the potential of stirring it up this far. Got it? Stir it up this far. When you have the potential, you could stir it that far. Then you're still limiting the operation of that ministry in your life. Stir it up. Like apple butter or something. Stir it. Stir it up. Which is in thee by the putting on of my hands does not mean that with the putting on of the hands he got the ministry, but he had the ministry and the declaration that came in prophecy as Timothy was set apart for the ministry is what happened. I am not sure. I've often wondered whether verses 8, 9, and 10 could not have been a portion of that prophecy of the laying on of hands on Timothy. 7, 2, by the way. 7, 8, 9, 10. Because in verse 6 he says, this is by the putting on of my hands, right? And in verse 11, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I've often wondered, I'm not sure, I just throw it out to you in your thinking, and maybe someday you'll have more light than I have on it, and maybe I'll have more light yet someday, but right now that's all I know about it. Verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, then why should we be afraid? But he has given us, in contrast, power, love, in the renewed mind manifestation, and of a sound, what? Mind. What's that word power in the Greek? Dunamis. And the love he's given us? Agape. And the sound mind? Right. It's an inside job. Dunamis inside, love inside, sound mind inside. It comes into concretion when you manifest, when you stir up the gift, Timothy. Then they'll see it. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony or the witness of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Beautiful. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power. And the word power there is what? Of God. God's dynamis. Inherent. Who hath, past tense, saved, past tense, us. Now if it was conditional, it could not have it in the past tense. Who hath saved us and called us, past tense, with an holy calling. Why could he do this? Because of his what? Foreknowledge, right? He knew when we'd hear, we'd believe. He knew that when we would hear, we'd walk. Wouldn't flip out every day and cop out and go cold on him. We'd just stay put. Call us with an holy calling. Not according to our what? We'd have never made it. But according to its own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What a tremendous thing, isn't it? Far as God was concerned, he saved us, he called us, according to his own purpose, via grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, even before Jesus Christ was born. Don't tell me this isn't a fantastic ministry God's given us, huh? Fantastic salvation. That's why we should joy and rejoice. It's why we ought to be happy. It's why we ought to be sweet on each other. Look what he did for us. And class, we've got what the Word of God says we have. We are what that Word says we are. Even if we don't feel like it, we still are. But we're just not stirring it up. What a stir it up. But is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, only because he died and he arose. That's why it's abolished. Because the last enemy to be destroyed is what? Still future. But as far as God is concerned, he already put it in the past. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. An apostle will preach, a teacher will preach. Two ministries mentioned in that verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. In other words, because he was an apostle, was a teacher of the Gentiles, and really stood for the greatness of God's word. He was suffering these things because he was in prison. They'd thrown him in jail. Nevertheless, I am not what? He wasn't ashamed. He told Timothy he shouldn't be ashamed. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, no question about it, no ifs, ands, or buts, I know whom I have believed. And the only way a man can know is to speak in tongues, people. There is no other way that you can really know that you know that you know. Because speaking in tongues is the external manifestation of the internal reality in presence of God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the only thing that can bring you to the place where you say, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt, convinced, just never any question in his mind, that he is able to keep that my deposit which he has committed unto us against that day. You see, that day could refer to the future, which I think it does, but I think it's much more relevant to refer to that immediate present of being in jail. Even in the midst of those severe persecutions, incarcerations, all the rest of it, he says, I'm persuaded that God is able to keep my deposit, that deposit which he gave to me, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, all of that, against that day wherein people ridicule, find fault, laugh at you. If all of us went to jail tonight, how many people do you really believe would show up here next Sunday? Or would they be embarrassed because all of us were in jail? How many people do you think would really show up? Well, I'm not anxious to find out, but I'll bet you we'd really be surprised, because people would be embarrassed. They're embarrassed, some of people embarrassed to come now, almost. Man, if we ever got thrown in jail, or something like that, they'd be so embarrassed to come, they just never show their faces. But Paul was not ashamed of having been thrown in jail, because he knew what he got thrown in, because of holding forth the greatness of the word. Hold fast the form of what? Sound words. That's what you hold fast. What do we teach you to hold fast in foundational class? Right. And it's a faithful word, because that faithful word is sound. The old farmers used to talk about a horse sound as a dollar. Long time ago. But what they meant at that time was to say, far as they knew, it had no imperfection. Now he said, hold fast. Hold on to it, the form of sound words, the faithful word. Hold it fast, that he says, which thou hast heard of me, in believing and love, which is in whom? Christ Jesus. That good deposit which was committed unto thee, keep or guard by using it. That's how you keep it and guard it, by utilization. Told him to stir it up a little while ago, right? When you stir it up, then you utilize it. That's how you keep it. That's how you guard it, which dwelleth in us. Verse 15. Unbelievable, but there it is. This thou knowest, Timothy, you know it, that all they which are in Asia Minor. Now that does not mean every split, every person, every individual there, but for the most part, that same Asia Minor that heard the greatness of God's word in how brief a period of time, had now done what? Split. They were ashamed of the prisoner. They were ashamed of the persecution. They were ashamed of the problems. So they just split. Turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my what? They split out because they were ashamed of him. They were ashamed of being associated with the ministry where the head man was in jail, all upset about it. But this one man, at least, Onesiphorus, when he came to Rome, he went to visit him in jail, and he found him. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Isn't that beautiful? See the tenderness in this epistle. See, I think this was very near to the close of Paul's ministry and life. You know, it's easy to stand if everybody pats you on the back, tells you how wonderful you are. But when those very, very people that patted you on the back turn right around and knife you, and they ridicule you, and they don't come to your meetings anymore, then what do you do? What'd Paul do? Stood. Why? Because he knew the Word of God was the will of God. That's why he stood. He didn't cop out, he just stood. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, divine favor, that is in whom? Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, time and time and time again, the same, not similar, but the what? Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Tremendous. The same commit thou to faithful men. Now, you can't always vouch for people that they'll be faithful a year from now, but at least they ought to be faithful now. Not just neophytes or pledges. They ought to be seasoned. And these men must be able to teach others also. The enablements that we're given with Christ in us, the hope of glory, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, makes us able men and women, that I know. But unless you stir it up, you're just never going to live the greatness of it. You commit this to faithful men who shall be able to teach. In order to teach, you have to have leadership ability. One of the things you said you had when you joined the Corps was that you had natural leadership ability. All right, then go out and stir it up. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The enduring hardship of a good soldier is in the training that he disciplines himself to. That's what he's talking about. And talking about a soldier here, he's talking about that soldier who would be preparing himself for war. And that soldier that warreth does not entangle himself with the affairs of what? Right. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The affairs of this life, the things of this life, all they're good for is to use. Day after day. May bring you a little happiness, but can never bring you joy. Joy is an inside job. And you and I just can't afford to get entangled with the affairs of this life. That's why I don't join Kiwanis, Lions, Rotary, 34th Degree Masons, all the rest of the stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but I just, as a top-notch athlete, cannot allow myself to divest my greatest abilities in two or three or four categories. Because if I belonged to Rotary, I'd want to make Rotary rotate. I'd just put my heart and soul in it. You see, you just can't afford to be entangled with the affairs of life. You have a disciplined mind. You have one thing, a sound mind. You have one thing to accomplish, and that's the teaching of the Word. You know, that doesn't mean that occasionally you can't go to parent-teachers meeting, I suppose. But let somebody else be president of the organization. You just be president of the Word, okay? Hold forth the Word. Let somebody else run Kiwanis. You know, let somebody else, if you want to go once in a while to eat their chicken, okie dokie. But you have only one responsibility, and that is God and His Word. That's all you have. You got to eat it, sleep it, drink it. You do not have the ability to divest your interest in two or three categories. You're just not that good. Hey, that's right. So, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this what? The reason he doesn't is because he has a goal that he wants to please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we who are born again of God's Spirit just put forth our efforts to please Him who has called us. And kids, for that you can just about endure anything and do anything and stand for anything and forgive anything or do anything else. Because that is just fantastic. Because as He said, He called us before the foundations of the world, gave us all of this. You see why? We can only give our utmost for Him. That's all we've got. We just cannot dilute our efforts. There are a lot of good things in the world. You know, wonderful. But let somebody else run them. You just hold forth the greatness of the Word. You minister that Word. You share that Word. You make it living and dynamic and real for people. Okay?